Welcome to Peak Tales, a conversation about chromatography. Now here's your host, John.
Hey, Peak Tales listeners, welcome back. This is season 3 of the Peak Tales podcast. Yeah, I can't believe that we've already seen 2 seasons behind us, but we are certainly going to continue to provide you great content. And take a listen to today's episode. Listen on through the end. We will have a special promotion code for you, the loyal listeners. So get set and get ready, because here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Peak Tales podcast. Today, I am joined by my friend, Darren Decker. Darren is an applications engineer with Agilent. And I'm just going to say, hi, Darren. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been with Agilent, I'm going to guess, around 20 years specifically. In other words, I came via some other connections, right? So I started out with J&W Scientific. Then for a very short period of time, I was working for Chromatography Incorporated. I think that's when we first met, John. And then I've been an Agilent employee for the last 21 years, actually, this June, as a columns guy, basically a GC columns guy. That's what I know. I'm kind of a one-trick pony, quite frankly, and that's what I do.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show here today, because you recently did a ON24 webinar entitled DB Wax UI Exceptional Inertness and Robustness. And I believe that was the title of it. But we wanted to take that content right here now to our podcast audience. So that's why we invited you on. And why don't we get right into it?
Yeah. So I always like to highlight when we have some new improvements in GC columns, because quite frankly, it's a very mature market space, and there aren't a lot of brand new things that come out. But this is kind of a unique one. In other words, we had some customers that were having trouble with some low-level active analytes when it came to analyzing them with their polyethylene glycol or DB-Wax type stationary phases. And it wasn't just our competitors, it was actually some of our own products. So we took a hard look at this and were able to develop, and of course, the way we did it is all proprietary, as it often is, but we were able to develop a column that gives exceptional inertness even at these low-level trace amounts that people are looking at, and it still gives us that excellent robustness. Now, we didn't really add anything in the way of increased thermal stability. We're still at the same kind of limiting factors there when it comes to these polyethylene glycols, but the inertness is incredible. And then the other thing I cleared up in the seminar that I kind of wanted to bring to light again here is the robustness towards water. There seems to be this idea or myth out there that water kills polyethylene glycol. And while that was true for PAC columns, and the major issue there is PAC columns are made of silica particles coated with different stationary phases, and that silica particle loves to gobble up water. And unless you coat it completely, you're going to have some exposure. And so it would ruin, if you injected water on these PAC columns, it'd kill it pretty quickly. But when it comes to these capillary wall-coated open tubular columns, we don't have that same issue. We consistently coat every bit of that wall. And so the water never makes it to the silica wall, the few silica walls. So you can inject water to your heart's content. And so I just wanted to clear that up. But the beautiful thing about this new column is its ability to look at alcohols, acids, aldehydes, diols at very low levels with minimal tailing. And the reason this becomes so important is anybody doing active analytes at trace levels know that that's when it matters, right? Nobody cares when you have a lot of analyte and you lose a tiny little bit. No one even notices. But when you don't have a lot of analyte and you lose a little bit, that's a big deal, right? So we wanted to be able to let those folks do what they need to do reproducibly, giving good response, great precision, you know, all the things you want to do when you're doing GC analysis. So that was the development of this column.
That's great. So this is a relatively new development, right? Within the last few months?
for the most
part. Well, I wouldn't say in the last few months, but that's the weird thing, right? These things kind of have a time warp, is even though we may have introduced this a long time, word doesn't necessarily get out that quickly. So we want to make sure that everybody's aware, because otherwise we just merrily go along thinking that's the way it has to be, that nothing's new out there. And so we want to just make sure that everybody knows that there's a better way to do this. And this isn't just take our word for it. We've developed a special test mix in order to make sure that the column's going to perform the way we say it's going to. So we put tough analytes in there like decanol and propionic acid and ethyl hexanoic acid, which quite frankly, in all of my career, I've never seen a perfectly symmetrical ethyl hexanoic acid. It always tails just a little bit, but I will tell you that this column, the tailing is quite minimal. And then we also put this other tricky compound, ethyl maltol, which was actually one of the compounds our customers were having problems with. It's used a lot in the flavors confectionaries, and they use it for its sweet smell and its sweet taste. But anyway, ethyl maltol was looking like garbage on the standard polyethylene glycol. And then under the new UI, Wax, DB Wax UI, it looks razor sharp. So it's really, really nice to see this improvement. The other thing we did just to run the column through its paces, because I mean, you know this, John, how people ask us all the time, how long does a column last, right? And there is no great answer to that. We don't know how long a column lasts because it depends on so many things. You got really nasty samples, you take the column really hot, it's not going to last as long as if you don't take it real hot and you have really clean samples. But we did do what we could do, and we ramped this column up to its max temperature for many, many hours, right? And we took competitor columns that were having this same issue and ramped them up to their max temperature and held it there for many, many hours. And the nicest, the wonderful thing that we discovered is this column holds at deactivation even under that thermal stress, that thermal cycling that you're going to do naturally with your column, regardless of how dirty or how clean your samples are. So we kind of like, you know, that's our claim for robustness, is you're going to be able to ramp this thing up over and over and over again and still get the performance that you were getting straight out of the box.
Yeah, it's good to see that all the work has been put in and it's well documented. So again, this is not a, I like to joke around and say a science fair experiment, right? I mean, this is something that is documented and proven, and you know, many customers can attest to it as well. You mentioned the myth about water. But there are some things that really do harm columns, and maybe just go over that a little bit for
our
audience.
Sure. The major one is oxygen. So the other thing you'll notice is our number one recommended trap for our gases is to look for water and oxygen. And really the water is for all of our rest of our things, the metal that's in there, right? Water and metal make rust. So we're trying to keep the water off of any of the metal surfaces. Specifically, our mass spec doesn't want you putting a bunch of water, and nobody's does. It's got a lot of metal in there. But for our columns, oxygen's the real killer. And then of course, the next one I've already mentioned is all of the garbage that ends up being in these sample extracts tends to junk everything up. And everybody in GC is familiar with this because that's why we're changing out liners. That's why we're chopping off the front of the column. But oxygen's our main killer. So we want to be leak-free. We want to have good quality carrier gases. And we want to have some traps on there to let us know with indicators if something's not there that's, or something's there that's not supposed to be there. And so we like to have those little indicators in our gas traps. But oxygen's our main villain. If everything else is good, then we want to make sure we're leak-free.
Great. Okay. Well, I mean, I think in summary, is there anything you'd want to tell our audience right now?
Sure. There's a great app node out there. I think you told me, John, you could include that in some notes or something.
Absolutely.
For this one as well, I'll send it over to you. And it talks about both of these things. We look at some of the difficult to do compounds at trace levels. We also look at the water and we do a little water study where we look at the first injection and then we inject some water and we do these samples over, I don't know, 100 or more injections, 200, I think is actually the number. But even back in the day, we did some testing with water on these columns, and I think we injected like 2,000 times, and there are still no issues. So just to kind of get rid of that myth, if we finally can, that would be nice. The other nice thing about this column is we usually use a specialty column. I'm sure you've heard of it, the DBFFAP for free fatty acid analysis. And this UI column does a really good job in that space as well. So maybe we don't have to swap columns out if we're looking at those things as well. So I guess that's pretty much just to let you know that we've got a great column in this space here. If you're looking at low-level active compounds, acidic compounds too, that we've got a great column for you. And there's literature to back all these statements up as well.
Excellent, Darren. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll make sure that we have in the show notes the app note that you referenced just now so that people can just go over to the site, download it, and get all the information we need. So hopefully we'll get you back on the podcast real soon. We appreciate this information, and just bye for now.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you for listening to this episode. I promised I'd be back with a special promotion code for loyal listeners. I have that to you in just 1 minute. But I did want to mention, as we have launched into season 3, we do need your feedback. So send an email to peaktales, all one word, peaktales, at agilent.com. with suggestions for episodes, and we'd be more than happy to look them over and get your question on the show. Okay, so here's the promo code that I promised. It is 1599 is the promo code, and that is available in North America only, and that will give you a discount on some chemistries and supplies. And there are limitations and instructions that apply. You can check with your sales rep or online. Okay, that's all we have for now. And please make sure that you subscribe to the Peak Tales podcast so you never miss an episode. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Peak Tales. For more information on what was discussed today, contact your local Agilent representative or go online to agilent.com.